Hi, everybody. I'm JB, also known as Justine Benjamin. I am the head of marketing at AdsWiz. AdsWiz is a technology platform, supports the whole ecosystem from publishers, podcasters, to advertisers as well. This is a fabulous panel we have in front of you. So we're going to kind of break these into little sections here. We're going to start with intros and trajectories, so kind of a two for one. I'm going to have the panel introduce themselves, as well as kind of give a glimpse into your path and how you kind of got here. So I will start with you, Tiffany.
Hey, everybody. Good afternoon. I'm Tiffany Ashite. I am the Creator Network Director at Acast, which is a hosting, distribution, and monetization company in podcasting. So basically, I head up content in the U.S., and my trajectory into this and podcasting. So I've been in production and content for over 15 years. I like to say that I'm in the business of organizing chaos. Anyone that's worked in production, project management, you know exactly what that is, organizing chaos. And so I've had a lot of lives. I've worked in event production from everything from New York Fashion Week to All-Star Weekend and big major events. Then I started my own agency because I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I don't know why.
Because you wanted more of that chaos?
I'm more chaos. I'm drawn to chaos, I guess. Did that for about 5 years. You know, all good things must come to an end. And then after that, I went on to work at Essence, Essence Magazine, Essence Ventures, Essence Festival, the whole media company, where I started the Essence Podcast Network and did that for 2.5 years. So all of those things, all of those learnings, failures, roller coasters, ups and downs, then brought me over to Acast, because working in the production side, I saw so many creators doing so many things. And then I realized I wanted to get on the business side because I wanted to help creators get paid what they're worth. So often we put our talents out there, but we don't monetize it in the best way. And so here I am.
Thank you. Marla?
Hi. Thanks for having me. My name is Marla Isaacson, and I'm the founder and CEO of ASA. So ASA is a podcast advertising marketplace, and we connect brands with women and non-binary podcasters. We have over 1,600 podcasters on our platform. We reach around 13 million listeners a month. ASA is free to join for podcasters, no minimum download requirement, no exclusivity. It's very important for me to help women make money. I believe when we talk about empowerment, what is empowerment? It's financial empowerment. So that's really our focus, is to help our creators make money. Interesting background. I mean, I started corporate, worked for really big brands, had a big job at American Express. I launched the marketing for the Blue Card, which was the coolest project ever. Had a huge budget, which I really wish I had now, but I don't have a $200 million budget. It's such a bummer. About 10 and a half years ago, I started my entrepreneurial journey, and I wanted to focus on a segment that I cared about, and that was, at the time, millennial women, helping launch women to in their careers, their life, the next steps after college or whatnot. So grew that platform, had over 1.2 million followers, really, really doing very well. And 2018, my team said to me, you need to start a podcast. And I'm like, a what? What? So they forced me into it. I launched my podcast, Mind of a Mentor, fell in love, as many of us do, and then realized, after doing some research, there was an opportunity for me in the world of podcasting. We pivoted like a boss girls to ASA. That's my background.
Thank you. Naomi?
Hi, everyone. It's so nice to be here. I'm Naomi Shaw. I'm the CEO and founder of Meet Cute, which is a romantic comedy entertainment brand. So we make a ton of scripted, original rom-coms. They're available on all podcast platforms. I came to this through a really untraditional background. I actually started my career at Goldman Sachs as an equities trader. And then I pivoted into venture capital and spent a lot of time looking at media and entertainment companies, understanding how Hollywood worked, and thinking about ways that we could build an entertainment company through an audio-first pathway, which hadn't really existed in Hollywood before. So we're creating a lot of original stories that I think one day can go on to become TV shows and movies that we love.
Thank you. And now you can see we have a very diverse, eclectic background. Nobody had a straightforward trajectory, so I'm really looking forward to the rest of the questions that we're going to get into. Naomi, I'm going to stick with you for a little bit. We're going to talk about representation. We've all heard and personally feel that it's important. Has there been a significant moment for you where you felt represented or felt like you saw something ahead of you that you saw in yourself that let you know that you can get to where you want to go?
Yes, representation matters hugely to what we do in storytelling. And so I would say that one of the most pivotal moments for me was actually looking at my parents who started a business. They both moved from India when they were in their early 20s. My mom was the president of the company and my dad was the VP. So he always joked that he reported to my mom at work and at home. So just seeing her be able to balance everything, I knew that at some point I wanted to be in a role that was a leadership role and that I also was able to balance a bunch of different priorities in my life. Rom-coms in particular, which is the genre that we're storytelling in, lend themselves really, really nicely to diversity, and it's so important to showcase so many different stories. The rom-com that made me realize this was Bend It Like Beckham, which I watched when I was a preteen. And the main character is a South Asian woman who loves soccer, doesn't really fit the stereotype that society puts on her. And I've probably seen that movie 50 times. And it's a big reason that we try and bring representation to our rom-coms too.
I love it. I love that one too. Marla, when we had spoke previously too, you kind of talked about representation in the corporate world. Can you share with us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So my corporate life was before Me Too, which is important. And I just remember as I became more senior in the companies that I worked for, attending meetings, you know, giving up what I thought were very well thought through comments, and then you know, people nodding, and then having the guy next to me say the same thing. That's amazing, what a brilliant idea. And I'm like, what the heck, I just said that. Or, you know, being in a meeting where I would make a comment, and then another guy would say, well, what Marla means is, and I said, well, I said that. So what I realized that a lot of it was about finding your voice and owning your voice. And that was a big lesson for me, just in terms of presenting myself with confidence, with poise. And unfortunately, again, this is before Me Too, this kind of stuff was very common in corporate. I mean, it was wonderful working in these jobs, but still there was behavior I had to deal with.
Thank you. And we had also talked about how that, it's almost the opposite of representation, right? Which kind of propelled you to kind of move forward. So it can be seeing yourself or the lack of yourself being seen as kind of like the fuel to the fire, so to speak. Do you remember that awesome quote that you gave us when we spoke about this? And it may not be exactly like that, but you said something that was so succinct to kind of wrap this up. Do you remember that?
I'm going to paraphrase it. I think I do. So essentially, it's very hard to create a vision for yourself that you don't see. And so my first job out of college was working at an ad agency in the casting. So basically casting actors for all the commercials that you would see. And what we have to understand as working in media, podcasting is media. Podcasting is probably one of the most personal forms of media because people are allowing you in their headspace, in their ears for 10, 20, 45 minutes at a time. That's a lot of real estate. And so in media, it's really important to be able to see yourself or hear your story so that you can see what's possible and be able to create a bigger vision for yourself and those around you. And so that's why I say it's very hard to create a vision for what you don't see in the world.
Love it. Love it. That concludes our little representation section there. Tiffy, I'm going to stay with you for a minute. This is the passion piece. And so for me as a marketer, sometimes I get really, and I think probably even as a creator, you get really hung up on the right word. Is this the right word to describe it? Am I doing this sufficiently? What I have found is I don't always have to have the answer. What you do is you surround yourselves by fantastic individuals here and you have open conversations. So we were having this conversation on our prep call about passion and I said, I don't know if this is the right word and here's what I want to talk about. And then Tiffany says to me, well, if you define passion as...
If you define passion as something you're relentless about, then yeah, you're passionate about it. Like at the end of the day, what do you care about so much that you're persist and be relentless about? That's passion, right? And it may not be all the things, and it shouldn't be all the things, but what are those few things? And if you don't know what those things are, you should seek them out, because that's the thing that's going to keep you going in front of adversity.
So based on, see, again, I don't have to have the right answer. You just have to be open and collaborate and be around the right people. So we went with that. We went with that definition. And so as a follow-up to that, talk to me about what you're passionate about. While I tie this thing that fell undone real quick. Hold on, go ahead.
Yeah, so a couple things that I'm passionate about is definitely fair pay. So early in my career, I had a job. I'd worked at that job for a very long time. And I asked my boss for a promotion, and she told me to my face that she was not gonna promote me because I make her life easy in the role that I have. Seriously. And so at that point, well, needless to say, I didn't stay at the job long after that. But ever since that point, I kind of made it a decision to not do that, to not be that type of manager. So I'm passionate about talking about money. I'm passionate about figuring out how to get fair wages for staff, because time is precious. We only have but so much of it on earth, and if we're going to devote it to something, you just want to make sure people feel like they're getting fair pay.
Thank you. And you know what they say, thank you. Yeah. And you know what they say, if you love them, let them go. If it was meant to be, they'll give you a referral. I'm serious. There's so many times where if you have that integrity, and you let somebody go, they will know people. There's somebody who knows what the job takes that they just left, that they will be like, you should work for this person, this is what it entails. So I think that's fantastic. Now Marla here with Asa, I'm gonna read this because I don't wanna mess this up, and I got this from the website. Okay. So Asa's mission is to increase the visibility, influence, and earning power of women in podcasting. So very much echoing that sentiment. Marla, can you maybe share with us major learnings that you've gained from kind of embarking and accomplishing this mission?
So again, it was very important to me to help women find their voice, taking from my experience in corporate. And being in the podcast space and finding out that very few women, at that point only 23% of all hosts were women, I found that to be outrageous. And decided that I was going to launch ASA to help elevate more underrepresented voices. That's what we do. We're a mission-driven company. So it's about elevating underrepresented voices. It's about helping women make money, giving them financial independence. That's what drives us. So when we did a free accelerator program last summer, and we had like 80 attendees, like a beta program. And I saw how much that we were really impacting people just in terms of the value and the information we were giving them. I felt like I know, like this is great. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And as our podcasters started to monetize and they would come back and say, we made money. That meant a lot to me, and this is what sustains me and keeps me going.
I love it. Fun fact, That's actually how I met Marla, was through a gentleman by the name of Cyril, but Caitlin and I were part of that accelerator program, and we developed content based on what we were talking about that we kind of molded into podcast monetization 101. We gave that presentation this morning. We opened it up. We've given that presentation, I don't know, numerous places. So basically what it came down to was you saying, here's a need, here's a space, exactly. Like, can you help fill that content? And from there, we've been able to do that, literally across the world.
And I was so grateful for your support. I mean, it was such an interesting topic, very relevant to the attendees, so thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. Naomi, what are you passionate about?
Yes, I love the way that you phrased it as relentless, because I think that anyone working on something every single day or night is relentless at something. So our mission statement at Meet Cute is to inspire the full spectrum of love, which if you like rom-coms, you'll understand. And the word spectrum is really important to us because it means that we're elevating voices that you don't traditionally see as main characters or as leading actresses or actors on big screens today. We think it's important to start with the 450 stories that we have in our library that can then go on to become stories elsewhere as well. So we have over 50% of our library is LGBTQ rom-coms. We feature a lot of diversity in ages, diversity in abilities, diversity in sexuality, gender, you know, you name it, and there is a rom-com for everyone in our library. And that's something that from the beginning, I'm really proud that the entire team has understood as a part of our mission statement, and it's very much built into our business model. I don't think that diversity and representation is something you can just slap on. I think it has to be baked into the actual foundation of a company for it to actually make a difference.
I love that. I love that. Are you guys ready for practical tips now? We're gonna break it up a little bit. Practical tips. Okay. Marla.
Yes.
What do you do when you're in a bad mood?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, I do a lot of manifesting, and when I'm in a bad mood, I just try to take myself to another place, just in terms of, you know, focusing on what I'm doing that I think is making a difference, and just focusing on that and focusing on the mission. I mean, it helps me get over, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, this is your day. Like, I'm great, I suck. I'm great, I suck. So just thinking about the value that we can bring to our users, that's what sustains me.
I love it. Same question to you, Naomi.
I find that when I'm in a bad mood, the first thing that comes to my mind, I should never say to people.
Catch us afterwards.
And what I do is I write, and I write down all of my thoughts, and then once that's organized, I feel like talking to people about it is a much more calm experience for me. So I actually, every morning, have a journaling practice. It's only 5 minutes. I make my coffee, I put my phone away, and I just write for 5 minutes every morning. And that has made me so much less of a slave to my calendar and my Slack notifications and my texts and everything that comes in. So that's what I do.
Love that. Stealing that. And it's funny that you say that about writing it down. In one of my first marketing roles, I was managing an agency, in a creative agency, and on a startup budget, they were not a good agency. And so they were messing up, and I was like, hey, like, they're not doing this. And my boss goes, you gotta tell them. And I'm like, shit, how do I do this? Wrote it down. And this was back in the olden days when we said, there's these things that were phones. That's what they were. They were phones. You didn't have to see anybody. So I actually had everything that I needed to tell them that was like not going down well written down, was able to talk it through. So completely agree with that one. Okay, let me unlock my phone because we're going to have Tiffany take us one more question here. My kids are so cute on my phone. Tiffany, for you, any other pro tips that you have been given that are worth sharing? And this can be like work-related, relationship.
I would just say opportunity doesn't always look like what you think it's supposed to look like. So be mindful of that. Like, you know, at ACAS, we work with so many types of creators. Many of them are independents. You know, we all work with creators, and I bet you their journeys look so different. And that's because they decided to take opportunities that maybe didn't look like the vision that they had initially set forth, but they took it anyway. So just don't be so married to the plan. Be open to the opportunity.
I like that. Somebody told me you plan for 60 and expect 40% that's just not going to be planned for. Yeah. So we're going to do one more question before we close it out. This one is about challenges. So Tiffany, I'll go back to you. So life, especially work life, is not a cakewalk. So talk to me about a difficult learning moment in your career. How did you approach it? How did you propel forward?
Sure. So at one point in my career, I was completely burned out. I was working at a place that was literally sending people to therapy. Like, it was so stressful that people were upping their therapy appointments. It was crazy. And so I burned out. And I think human nature makes us want to consistently persist and overcome a challenge, but at what odds? At the odds of your sanity, at the odds of your health, sometimes it's just not worth it. And when I realized I was really getting to the brink that I was literally probably gonna have a nervous breakdown, I just quit. And everything turned out okay. Like, what if you do the thing that your gut is telling you to do? Then what? It's gonna work itself out.
I like that. There has to be a certain, like, belief or courage or kind of, you know what I mean? Almost a leap of faith.
You have to.
Yeah, I love that. Marla here is gonna get a little brave for us. Marla's gonna tell us about an embarrassing or downright mortifying a moment that she's had in her career, and tell us how she recovered from that.
Okay, Like a Boss Girls, as I mentioned, was my platform. Women's empowerment, go women, all that stuff. We did we like to do events, small events, panel discussions. I'm based near the Manhattan, so a lot of them started in Manhattan. We created an event, we had a venue the day before. The venue lost electricity, we're scrambling. You know, we found another great space in a loft, a photography loft in the city. We were great. My biggest concern was, will there be enough food? So I went and bought an extra crudité plate. So we get there, we set it up, a very distinguished panel. We had about 80 women in the room talking about values and you know, finding your voice and all this other important stuff. My son joined me for the panel. He was there to support me. He comes running over to me. He said, Mom, you better go out into the hallway. I said, well, what do you mean? So I go out in the hallway, and I see a bunch of very scary guys wearing big black, you know, jackets, you know, leather jackets, and a whole bunch of women. They weren't wearing a whole lot of stuff. And I was just, I didn't know what to do. They came into the room, and my very distinguished panel looks at me like, what the hell? What are these people doing there? So they actually asked if we would end early, and I said, sure, let's get everybody out. And we're doing that, and I didn't know what to say to these people, but as I walked out the door, I said, here's an extra crudité platter. So lesson learned, buy that extra crudité platter, because you never know.
And I'm sure they enjoyed it, right? Everybody needs a little bit of that. That's awesome. Sorry for the really loud laughter. I didn't hear that story prior. Okay, so we're going to close it out. Naomi, I'm going to have you start with this. What would you tell yourself 10, 15 years ago? What bit of advice would you give yourself? Or 5? Or like yesterday?
Okay, this is a good question. I would say to myself, it's okay that you can have many different career paths and still end up doing something super impactful. I think when I was younger, I had this fear of not being an expert in one thing and instead being just like, you know, bouncing around. And so I always had imagined myself becoming a doctor or a neurosurgeon or something that just like you had a path in life and you were an expert at that thing. And I've had like three different careers in my very short career journey so far. And they've all taught me something super important. So I would just say that's okay. And every experience can be a part of your story.
I love that. Thank you. Marla?
You know, my mantra is something I picked up from a direct marketing expert. A lot of you may have heard of her, Marie Forleo. And her famous saying is, everything is figure outable. And I wish I knew that when I started because, you know, I'd go into panic. But then taking a step back, thinking very clearly, distilling it down to what really matters, everything is figure outable.
That's awesome. Tiffany?
I would say, I would tell her, don't forget to play. As a kid, we can't wait to grow up. We can't wait to be an adult. It's overrated. I mean, it's cool, but whatever. And you get so focused on your career, on building amazing things, on supporting amazing people, that you forget to be a child again and just play. Whatever gives you joy, whatever makes it's fun for you, don't forget to play.
I love it. That's it, guys. Thank you for staying a little bit later. We appreciate it.